Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the worlds of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Iso, and today we're joined by two new label mates to join the roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello, everyone. We're saying hello and welcome to John Moore, a trusted transformation leader, author, and former Big Four principal. He helps organizations navigate complex change with bold strategy, sharp clarity, and real results. Hi, John. Also, hello and welcome to Ian Hunter, an impact-driven advisor and global innovation strategist. He helps ventures grow responsibly, shaping strategy, refining position, and building partnerships that align a purpose with progress. Hello, Ian. Awesome. So we will jump straight into our first topic of the week. And the tech world is increasingly obsessed with Gen Z, but are we overlooking a huge and fast-growing market that's hiding in plain sight? From AI companions like LEQ to the rise of older gamers, innovators are starting to tap into the needs and spending power of older consumers. And the question is, why aren't we doing more of it? What would it take for teams to stop defaulting to Gen Z and start designing for the untapped potential of older early adopters? Ian, I think with your sort of marketing background, this is great for you to kick off.
I think your expression untapped older early adopters is absolutely key there. It's for whatever reason, almost an ignored market, and I don't really quite understand why. A friend and colleague has actually started an agency, and it is exactly tapping into that huge mine of very skilled, very experienced individuals who can provide great insights that perhaps hitherto have been more or less ignored. I think it's something that we should all be working with. I mean, I certainly, from my point of view, a little bit of grey hair goes quite a long way. And that's probably one of the reasons that I do the work that I do now, helping to advise all innovators. And let's face it, not all innovators are young. I'm just about to start a 20-week coaching program with a gentleman who is probably about the same age as I am and needs some support. So I think it would be a mark of almost disrespect to just only think about innovation for the young. It's far, far broader than that.
Awesome. And John, how do you think we sort of start getting our teams to think about this untapped market?
Well, it's the same with any untapped market, right? You have to be able to motivate somebody to take a look at the ROI and have it be an opportunity to be able to invest resources in order to get the type of return that they're looking for, right? So there's a lot of organizations and individuals themselves that maybe aren't as risk averse as others. And so I think that really having a very, you know, motivating the value proposition for them to jump into this, again, with any type of market. So again, I think that when it comes around innovation and doing something differently, I think making sure that it's all part of an innovation strategy, making sure that you really have the innovation defined, make sure the leadership teams rallied around it, and really be able to have a plan in place in order to get you where you want to go. And so I don't see any difference than you know, tapping into any other type of market. It's just, it's a little riskier for a lot of folks, because a lot of executives I found, they really want, they talk a good game about innovation, but when it comes time to actually do it, they really don't want to. It introduces too much risk to their organization, too much risk to themselves, to their career, especially those that have, I've had many of them tell me, John, I've got 2 to 3 years left in my career. I'm going to be retiring. I love the status quo. Everything's great. I get my annual bonus. I just don't want to introduce any risk. And I know there'd be a great return down this area, but we're just not going to do it today. And I've heard that so many times that it's a shame, but you just got to go on to the next opportunity and hopefully you can have a more compelling reason to do so.
If I can just interject there, I think that's very interesting, John, but I just wonder, do you think it's determined by the size of the organization that an individual works with or for? If they're an independent entrepreneur, perhaps they might have a slightly different approach.
Yeah, I haven't really found it to be aligned with the size of the organization. It's more like the size of the ego, right? and that's the determining factor.
I think it's also one of those interesting things where you almost have to be able to prove the risk of not doing it. So inherently there's a risk in not speaking to this market because they are going to be around for a lot longer. And they're also probably have a little bit more disposable income than the Gen Z that are getting quite a bit of the attention. So it's one of those sort of like, there's the risk of doing it, but there's also the risk of not doing it and sort of having, being able to show and quantify that is probably going to be the big thing for organizations as they go forward.
Well, those that align themselves with the first mover advantage, right? That's who they are, right? They want to be in front, and others want to see how, I don't know, the first movers are really accommodating this new opportunity. And then they come in behind because it's easier to change what they've already seen, already in play. And so again, I haven't really found people really changing who they are. It's just, hey, I'm always first advantage. I want to be the first one, you know, let's get something on the table. And others, that they're not comfortable with that. So it's a matter of changing who they are a little bit.
Plus two, it's like, you don't even necessarily need to come up with something new for an older generation. You just need to, like, it can be something as simple as just changing your approach. Cause like, I always think of the story that we did a few weeks ago, Fuzlin, where, Uber were sort of doing a dumb phone version of their smartphone app. So it would work with, like, you, instead of being able to dial a 1-800 number, it would essentially just break it down to its barest components, where someone who hadn't even looked at a smartphone before could be like, I know how to order a cab now, or order a taxi, that sort of thing. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You just need to think, you know, who it's going to go for at the end in terms of your target audience, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, sorry, you guys.
No, go for it, Josh, as our resident Gen Z.
I was just going to say, as the resident Gen Z, you're right about the amount of focus that gets thrown onto us in terms of, I'm speaking as if it's I'm one for all, you know. You know, you say that there's more disposable income on older generations. I was just about to say, disposable income, who's she, you know?
When did she enter the chat? I didn't. Are there sort of opportunities that so the ones that we've sort of seen right now that surge in sort of older gamers, and then also the LEQ robot to sort of combat I guess not only loneliness but also just to have an AI that's easy to engage with. Are there any such opportunities that the both of you kind of see within that generation that we're missing, that innovation is just not touching yet?
Actually, one of the things I've found is that if you go into any group that you want to help innovate, right, you can come in there with preconceived ideas, or you come in and know how to facilitate that group to be able to spin up ideas within that group, right? So you can bring the Gen Zs in and do brainstorming sessions and things like that. But it seems like with a lot of folks, they were very creative as kids, right? You put a crayon, box of crayons and coloring books or a Rector set or whatever they were using, and they're very creative. And what's happened is over the years, that creativity, that innovative capability has really been pushed down, right? And there's a lot of times that they offer ideas, but because they're not with leaders or with a group that willingly accept it in a risk-free environment, they become more prone to just be quiet, do their day job, and just keep their ideas to themselves. So being able to crack into groups like that, or any other group that really want to introduce innovation, being able to conduct exercises, kind of crack through all of that, right? I've conducted one where you just take a simple pen and you say, here, name, you know, as many ways as you can to utilize this pen in addition to writing. What else can you do with it, right? And so, you know, you get some answers and everything, and then you say, well, what if we went ahead and ground it down into powder? What could you do with that? What if you went ahead and took the pieces apart and found a place, something to do with each piece? So you can take them through these, and all of a sudden they've come up with like 50, 100 different things, and you've got them going, right? And so then you can look at it and say, well, let's talk about some problems that you're encountering right now, and then let's apply innovation or your newfound creativity to be able to identify some innovative opportunities. And no idea is a bad idea, right? Mm-hmm. Capture everything, put everything down, because you can always combine ideas together and create something that they had never thought of before. So conducting those types of workshops is always fun to be able to do it. And so whether you're doing it with Gen Z or whatever, a lot of times the opportunities are really within the groups themselves. You really just need to know how to dig it out.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's as simple as something like you were just saying, John, there about like, you know, no idea is a bad idea, creating that sort of inclusive culture of, you know, I've always been a person that would avoid saying something because I'd be too scared of being of coming across dumb. You know, there's no such thing as a stupid question until you ask it, right? Like, just another way of you saying it. But that's a really important thing too, yeah.